We come to the Word of God, the spiritual food. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words this morning that you speak into our hearts powerfully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. I know many of us, you know, would know what is Christmas Day, what is Good Friday or Easter. Because both Christmas and Easter is so commercialized. You know, at Christmas, present, party, family gather together. At Easter, you got Easter bunny, Easter eggs. But Pentecost Sunday, not many of us know about it or talk about it. But you know that Pentecost was one of the three feasts, one of the three feasts that God commanded Israel to observe them. The three feasts, you have the Feast of the Passover, you have the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of the Wheat, and then you have the Feast of the Tabernacle or sometimes called the Feast of Booth. All these three feasts are called pilgrimage feasts because they have to make a trip to Jerusalem. Now, one of these days, when I do communion, I'm going to share with you how these three feasts is locked into the communion that we take every time. So these three feasts, the Passover, you know, talks about Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. The Pentecost or the Feast of Harvest of Wheat is just after the harvest. They just have a good harvest. Now they give thanks to God. Then, of course, the Feast of Tabernacle, or sometimes called the Feast of Booth. That is when the Israelites have to leave their house. And they build tent. And they stay under the tent for 7 days. Now, God has a purpose when he do that. So that people who love him do not become too attached to what? To things. So imagine you live in the comfort of your house. Nice, soft, thick bed, aircon, you know, everything. And now you have to live there for 7 days and just simply live on what? On tent. How many of you have been to camping before? How many of you realize when you go camping, you travel what? You travel light. I have gone camping and I tell you what, I will not allow my wife to bring her makeup. Neither can she bring any bag that is expensive. We travel what? Light. So God has all these things for a purpose. So is Pentecost. And all these feasts remind us that we are actually fact pilgrims. How many realize that? We are actually fact stranger and pilgrim on this land. We are only passing through. And sometimes, especially when life is good, and because we seek for the good life, we want to be here forever, but we ain't going to be. We are just passing through. So, today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is not just for Pentecostal. We are called Pentecostal, you know, because we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See? But Pentecost Sunday is for all Christians. Now, Pentecost Sunday is not started in LA, California, during the great revival they call the Azusa Street. You know, it was this great revival that brought the power of the Holy Spirit back to the forefront. The church, after the apostles, after the early fathers, the church went through a period they called the dark time, the dark age. And the Holy Spirit was actually fact left out. So it was this Azusa Street, you know, that spear the church to come back to the place that we need what? We need the Holy Spirit. The Bible say it's not by might nor by power, but it's by what? By my spirit. It's only by my spirit that the mountains can be what? Removed. So Pentecost Sunday is the fulfillment of the promise of God. You know, God promised us that he will pour down his spirit in the last day. And all the time that Israel was celebrating Pentecost was on that time to see how God would pour down his spirit on the day of Pentecost in the books of Acts chapter 2. Pentecost takes place 50 days after Passover. 50 days after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father sent the promised Holy Spirit into the earth. That's why we call it Pentecost Sunday. Jesus spoke about it. Jesus spoke about it that he will not leave us comfortless. He will not leave us without a helper. He will not leave us alone to fend for our life. Jesus told the disciple that he is going to send what? The Holy Spirit. Let's believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what's the trouble with Christians sometimes? We argue over unnecessary things. You know, the early days, they argue whether is the Holy Spirit from the Father or is the Holy Spirit from the Son. I mean, sometimes we argue over unnecessary things. Then just simply believe, God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the power and for the person of the Holy Spirit. So 50 days after Christ died and raised again, the Holy Spirit was given. And as is said in Jesus' promise in John chapter 14, verse 16 to verse 18, and Jesus said, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper, another comforter, you know, that he will be, that he may abide with you forever. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit comes and he lives in our heart and he abides here what? Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither see him nor know him. But you know him. We know the Holy Spirit because he lives what? He lives in us. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit is given to us for a purpose that we will not be what? Alone. That we will not be comfortless. That we will not be helpless. That we will not be an orphan. That the Holy Spirit comes into our life to seal us because we are children of what? We are children of God. When we believe Jesus Christ brings his Holy Spirit to live in our heart. So, the promised Holy Spirit is the promised comforter. It's the promised counselor. It's the promised helper. It's the promised intercessor. It's the promised advocate. It's the promised strengthener. And he is the promised standbyer. Now, this is what the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not one, you know, he's not a standbyer. A standbyer is someone who stands by and just watch and see and do nothing. The Holy Spirit stands by us. He comes alongside us to be our comforter. How many of us need comfort this morning? He's your comforter. How many of you need wisdom? He's your counselor. How many of you need help? And many times in my life, I need help. How many of you need help this morning? He's here to help you. You are not alone. You don't have to face life alone. You don't have to face life by yourself. You don't have to give up, you know, in life. You have a what? Helper. If you have a helper, you must call what? For help. If you don't call for help, How is the helper going to help you? So he is your helper. And then he is your intercessor. The Bible tells us that Jesus sits at the right hand to intercede for us. He is our advocate. You know, sometimes, and many times, the devil will come and accuse you. How many of you sometimes feel condemned? Now, condemnation is never from God the Father. It's never from Jesus Christ. Condemnation doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. But the enemy does come and bring condemnation and bring accusation. Here is where the Bible said that the Holy Spirit is our advocator. He comes and stands and speaks for us. And then he sees the promise strengthener. Are you weak this morning? Are you tired this morning? Are you discouraged this morning? He is your strengthener. You are not alone. You know, and when you understand the Holy Spirit is not just for you, it is for your children and for your children's children. Amen. It is for all of us who believe in him and our family. Job chapter 2, verse 28 to verse 29. Then after doing all those things, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see vision. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on your servant, men and women alive. On the day of Pentecost, Apostle Peter spoke from Joel chapter 2, and he said this word, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, that in the last day they shall be, God declared, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. God promised, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So when Peter quoted this verse, he linked Joel's prophecy with the Holy Spirit coming and the commencement of the church. Yes, the Holy Spirit has come, but he has not fulfilled every detail in the book of Joel. But the coming of the Holy Spirit is the start of the fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel chapter 2. And from that time onward, those who believe in Jesus Christ have the indwelling Holy Spirit in them because they have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that we are not Old Testament believers. Because in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, only a few selected people have the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Joseph was anointed with the Spirit to administrate. Moses anointed with the Spirit to deliver Israel out of Egypt. And when they built the tabernacle, all those skilled workers were anointed for them to be able to build. You see in the book of Judges, Samson, Gideon and other anointed to deliver Israel from their oppression. And when they were anointed, God gave them extraordinary ability, capacity and strength. That is in the Old Testament, only some. I wonder would I ever qualify if I was under the Old Testament. Would I ever be chosen if I was under the Old Testament? But thank God we are under the new covenant. We are under the new covenant. And in this period of time that we are living in, since the downpouring of the Holy Spirit, this period is called the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. It's also called the dispensation of grace. For the Holy Spirit lives in every believer who believe in him. That is the first experience that we have. That experience is called I am born again. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Then, the Holy Spirit upon believers who are baptized with the Holy Spirit is called the second experience. We need both. Both the first experience as new creation in Christ. We need the second experience to be empowered, to be an empowered believer so that we can live our Christian life. You know, it's not easy living a Christian life. If you really want to live a Christian life, it is not easy. Jesus never said that the road is easy. But we need the Holy Spirit power to live our Christian life so that we are able to confront the world that we live in. I have hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The promise of salvation, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of God, you need to what? You need to believe. You need to accept. And you need to receive them. And you have to do it what? Personally. I cannot do it on your behalf. No one can do it for you. You need to personally believe. Personally, you know, accept and personally receive. So is the promise of the Holy Spirit. When I meditate on the promised Holy Spirit for our life, I think of one word this morning. That word is empowerment. Empowerment. The promise was given to empower us to experience God. Without the Holy Spirit, everything we do is religious. But with the Holy Spirit, we experience God intimately. We experience God relationally. We experience God in a real powerful way. So God give us the Holy Spirit to empower us so that we can experience God. How many of you want to experience God? We need to experience God because He's alive. He is real. I'm telling you, sometimes we can get so religious and do everything and miss the most important part is that if I experience God, I have been in contact with Him. So the Spirit comes to help me to experience God. And then the Spirit comes to help me to live for God. Empowerment. Say this word with me. I am empowered. Because many times we see ourselves hopeless and powerless. We see ourselves lifeless. We see ourselves, no, what can I do? Where can I go? What can I say? But I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is given. And the only word I could think of when I think about the Holy Spirit is empowerment. That God has come to empower us. Because without the Spirit, we are dead in our sin and trespasses. But it's the Spirit that gives life. What kind of life? It's God's kind of life. Without the Spirit, we are powerless to live the Christian life. And we can't do it on our own. So we need who? We need the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Holy Spirit is not something that we just talk about on Pentecost Sunday. It's not something that we just talk about on the Sunday morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit that lives in you will be so real that every day you know that He is in here. So how does the Spirit empower us? He empowers us so that our weakness becomes Spirit and power weakness. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. What is a weakness? Jesus said, a weakness tells everyone about who? About me. When a person witnesses and tells about themselves, they are not witnessing. Witnessing is telling about who? About Jesus. And Jesus said, you shall receive power, and then you will be my witness everywhere. Whether you are in school, you are in the workplace, among your friends, even among your enemy, you are supposed to be a what? A witness. And sometimes I know when we are the witness, we have to use our what? Our mouth. But sometimes the greatest witness is not to use your mouth, is to use your what? Your life. Is to use your life. It was Francis, that priest, who took a group of his people and said that we are going to go to the town to witness. And this group of priests followed him, monk, and they walked in the town, did not speak to anybody, walked and came back to the monastery. And so the monk said, we didn't stop to talk to anybody. And his reply was this, our life and our present itself is a witness. I hope you realize that, brothers and sisters, where God placed you, you are to be the light and the what? The salt. I have discovered candles, whether it is big candles or small candle, fat candle or thin candle, when you light and burn, they all burn what? The same light. You realize that? Sometimes we may think, I'm not as powerful as Pastor Kara. You know, I'm not as successful as somebody. But I want you to know, your life itself is a light. You may not think that you are bright enough, but all candles burn with the same intensity as a light out of darkness. And so God said in his word, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so your witness will be spirit-empowered witness. You know, the Lord knows the disciple will be fearful and powerless to continue his work, to preach the gospel, to share the good news. And so he asked them, don't do anything. Wait at Jerusalem for the coming Holy Spirit to empower you so that when you receive power from on high, you can be my witness. You see, the disciple asked Jesus, when are you going to reinstate the kingdom? They were looking for political power, but Jesus said, it is not political power. And I'm telling you, in today's world we are living, the politician cannot solve the problem of this world. The only people who can solve the problem of this world is Jesus Christ. And how is he going to do it? It's people like you and me. People like you and me. They were looking for political power. When will you restore the kingdom of Israel? But Jesus said, the power that I'm going to give you is power from above. It's dunamis power. Power given to you. And when you have this power, it's because I live in you and I release it to you and I come upon you. I look at Peter. Peter was not born as a public speaker. Some people, they can really talk, but not Peter. Peter was not trained and a public speaker like Obama. I mean, Obama can really talk. He was not somebody, you know, a big name in television. Peter was just a simple fisherman. What does he know how to do? He just know how to cast the net and drawing the net, hopefully that he will catch some fish. And Jesus came to him and said, Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So Peter has many questions and often he said the wrong thing, you know that. How many of you have ever been to that place? You know, I said that. You know, and he said the wrong thing, you know, and he misunderstood and he missed the point of Jesus' message. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was transform. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit does not leave you as you are. He comes to change. He comes to transform. And when he was transformed, he was empowered. He became a power witness. And when he spoke what he knew, what he saw about Jesus Christ with the great power of the Spirit, 3,000 were saved. Then later on, Peter was arrested, beaten, threatened. But then in the power of the Spirit, he continued and went about to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes for us, like Peter, we may not have the opportunity to share his story. We may be questioned concerning our faith. And I'm telling you, in our world we are living in our Western world, they are so anti-God, so anti-church, and there are going to be situations where you are going to poke even in schools and in the workplace among your friends concerning what you believe, what you stand for. Because I'm telling you, the goalpost has been changed and changed and changed. And now, I'm telling you, people do not know where the goalpost also themselves. But Jesus promised us, because of the Holy Spirit living in you, when you are put into that corner and the finger is pointing upon you, this is what he promised us. When they drag you into their meeting places or into police court and before judges, don't worry about defending yourself. What you will say and how you will say it. Have you ever felt that way?
What can I say? How am I going to say it? Oh yeah,
say this also die, say that also die, don't say also die, say also die. So what am I going to do? Jesus said, when the time comes, don't worry. The right words will be there. That is his promise. Why is that so? The Holy Spirit will give you the right word when the time comes. I'm telling you, there are times that I'm caught in that situation, but I know what had come out of my mouth. What wisdom. What profound answer. Actual fact, it surprised me. Gee. Have you ever felt that way before? But who was that? That's what Jesus said. It's the Holy Spirit giving you the what? The right word to say. That will silence the voice of others. Like Peter, you are not a fearful or powerless witness. You are anointed. Anointed, you are an empowered witness to share and to tell his story with power and authority from on high. Because his story, this story about Jesus Christ, is not hearsay or rumors. It is actual event in history. And this story about Jesus Christ is changing many lives, empowering many lives, empowering many witnesses all over the world. And you are just one of them. Say with me, I am an empowered witness. Don't ever let the devil lie. You are not good enough. What story have you to say? What can you say? Don't ever do that. Your story may be short and sweet, but it is powerful. Amen? It is powerful. So the Spirit comes, our weakness becomes Spirit-empowered weakness. Now we come to our worship. Our worship becomes Spirit-empowered worship. John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father looks for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The old order of religious formality is over and gone. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and once and for all, he settled all of this. Thank God that this morning, you don't have to bring your bullock to be sacrificed. You don't have to bring your dove to be sacrificed. You don't have to do all the old ways. It's gone once and for all. even though after that we are going to have good food out there. It's gone once and for all, because Jesus paid once and for all. He paid the full price, and he has given to us, as what Hebrews say, a new and a living way to relate to God through the power, through the person of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we cannot replace the place of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit with high sensation, lighting, sound, high tech, and atmosphere. We cannot do that. You know, money and people can create an atmosphere of God is here, but he is not here. We can create man-made creation. We don't need that. We have what? We have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in whose name? In my name. Where am I? He said, I am present. So the Spirit has come, and he has come, and God is looking for true worshipper empowered by the Holy Spirit to encounter him. To encounter him in spirit and in truth. Now look at the word there. The Father, who worshiped the Father in spirit and in truth. Then you look further down. God is spirit. That spirit in spirit and in truth is small what? Small S. God's spirit is what? Big S. What does it mean? It means this. That God has empowered us so that our spirit become alive, so that we are able to worship God in body, soul, and spirit. Because spirit contacting God is very important. That our spirit, touched by the Holy Spirit, is contacting and experiencing God. You see, if worship is just the body, you know, then I myself go to where? I myself go to the gym. If worship is just the soul, I feel good. I'm so glad. Then worship is about who? It's not about God. It's about who? About me. So worship must be spirit. Spirit quickened by the Spirit, in contact with the Spirit, experiencing the Spirit more than body, more than soul, more than emotion, more than feeling. Is the Spirit contacting God in spirit and in truth. And when the human, when the spirit of man contact God, quickened by him, that spirit of man will change and be transformed. You see, you can never worship the living God and be dead. You can never worship a holy God and live an unholy life. Come on, let's be honest about that. You cannot say, I have been with Jesus and live the same again. So worship, empower worship, is when you begin to recognize that I am in contact with God, just like Isaiah. Isaiah said he saw God. He saw who he is. Then he said, I am touched, I am transformed. And then he said, send me. That's what worship should do. That's what Sunday is all about. Sunday is when we gather you, we empower you, we strengthen you, and then we send you out Monday to Saturday to become the light and the salt to this earth. Amen? You see, and it's so important, because here was Jesus. He met this adulterous woman. I mean, we all know about her. You know, and she seems to know about worship. Where to worship, how to worship, when to worship. And she got it all right. But there's one thing that she didn't get it right. She has come to a place where she has learned to compartmentalize his life, her life. To her, this is worship. This is my life. And I tell you, the danger with modern Christianity is that people have learned to compartmentalize their life. Sunday is God. Monday to Saturday, what I do is my life. This is personal. This is my space. God cannot touch it. I'm telling you, Jesus is all or what? Nothing. People may not like what I say, but that's the truth. If you look back to the Jews, their concept of religion is this. It involves the total being, body, soul, and spirit. It involves their personal life, their family life, their work life. So how can a Christian in his working place work dishonestly? Impossible. Because it involves everything. Because God wants us to realize that everything of what we are and what we do is worship unto Him. Our worship becomes spirit-empowered worship. Our work becomes spirit-empowered work. John, Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 11. Peter and John went to the temple. The man that was lame could not walk, looking at them for something. It was not with silver, nor with gold, nor with themselves, but in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, that man raised up and walked. Jesus said this. Jesus said this. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but greater work, greater things, because I, on my way to the Father and giving you the same work to do, and that I have been doing. So what is God saying? The Father sent the Son has started to work. The Son has returned back to the Father. Somebody needs to what? Continue the work. Somebody has to do it. The world is not going to do it. Non-believers is not going to do it. So who is going to do it? It has to be us. Who believe in Jesus Christ. We are supposed to continue the work of Jesus. Not all of us can do what Jesus do, because our anointing, our gifting has different level. But we can do what we can do. Amen? With what opportunity God has given to us. So the Holy Spirit comes and He said He's going to empower you so that you can continue the work of Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we will have difficulty doing the work. And we may think that, oh, I have natural talent, I have ability, you know, I have gift. But I'm telling you, in the human way, you can only do as far as you humanly can. If you want to do the extra, if you want to do more, you need the power of what? The Holy Spirit. When you lay hand and pray for the sick, whose power are you praying with? The Holy Spirit. When you witness, whose power are you doing? The Holy Spirit power. You see, we don't realize how important is the Holy Spirit in our life. I hope it's not just on Pentecost Sunday that we talk about the Holy Spirit. But it should be an important part of the church life, of the individual life. Because it's the Holy Spirit that empowers you so that you are able to continue the work of God. It's the Holy Spirit that is able to empower you so that when you are weak, you can say, I am strong. So that when you are poor, you can say, I am rich. So that when you can't, you can say, I can. It's the Holy Spirit that make what is impossible become possible with what? With God. I am empowered worker. Can you say that with me? I am an empowered worker. And he has empowered you to continue his work. Don't think about what other people are doing. They may have greater work to do, greater responsibility than you. Just you. God, what do you want me to do? What can I do? It may be little to you, but God is looking for what? Faithfulness. And we need the Holy Spirit to give us that power. Lastly, the Holy Spirit, our words become Spirit-empowered word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 to verse 5. Here is the Apostle Paul himself. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. No flowery words. He said very plain. You know, no big words. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches. This man is trained. Paul was a very trained man. He said that rather than using all this, I rely only on the what? On the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you could trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Here was a man trained. He's eloquent in his work. I mean, he can write so many of the epistles. This man can talk and he can write. But he said, I come to you, you know, with humility, timid and trembling. How are you like this morning? I'm preaching to you and trembling, fearful. You see, this is how it is like. You know those days where they have pulpit that all cover up so that when you tremble, nobody sees? Let me tell you, you think it is easy to come up here and preach? Come on. There are people who think they can do a better job than you, Pastor Kara and me. I'm telling you, to come out here and preach is not easy. Firstly, not just preparation, but to know that whatever we say, we are accountable to Him. So we have to choose our word carefully. You know, and here is Paul. He said, look, when I come to you, it's not with persuasive words, you know, or all this. See, I come to you, you know, so that you may see the power of God. And I want you to know that when we preach the word of God to you today, whether Pastor Kara preach or myself or any pastor that is here, we preach because we believe God's word is Spirit-empowered word. The word of God is not irrelevant. The word of God is not out of date. The word of God is not uninspiring and dry. The word of God is active, powerful, full of power, making it operative, energizing, effective, because the word of God is the anointed and the empowered word of God. Peter preached the empowered word of Joel 2. 3,000 were saved. Paul went to Ephesus and he preached the empowered word of God, and the whole city turned to God. This empowered word of God that we preach. And sometimes when we preach the cross, it may be foolishness to people. But yet, it is the power of God to save those who believe in the power of the cross. The empowered word set the captives free, open prison door, make the blind to see, and heal the brokenhearted. Therefore, for Pastor Kara and myself, and for those who are standing here to preach, we are very careful that those that come and preach will love the word and believe the word, will not water down the word. We will not compromise the word. We will not. We will not juggle the word. You know, Because I believe there are faithful men and women that God uses all the time to preach the uncompromising word of God. Because it is when we preach the word as what it is, as what He said, that we expose the lie and the deception of the enemy. I have come to a place to realize God's word, I don't need to help God's word. It is empowered. It is spirit. It is life. It is truth. It is light. All I need to do is to pray to God, God, let me preach your word under the anointing and the power of the Spirit. And let me say as what it is and what it meant to be. This is what God said in Isaiah 55 verse 11. It is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruits. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper wherever I send it. That is the empowered third word of God. It's time we believe, we read, we meditate, we claim, we confess, we stand and declare the empowered, word of God without ceasing and with unshakable faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Say with me, I believe in what the word say. Is spirit empowered? Amen. What it say. And when we do sit there, let's practice it. Practice what the word say. We may not be perfect, but practice it. And you'll see the power that is in the word. So the Holy Spirit comes to empower, the early church. The Holy Spirit comes to empower us. Grace City Church, we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever think what your life will be if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit? What your marriage will be if it's spirit empowered? What your family will be if it's spirit empowered? And so I want to help you to recognize that there is a Holy Spirit that lives in you, that is standing beside you, that comes alongside you. All He waits for you is to use your mouth. Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, give me counsel. Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Holy Spirit, be my advocate. Holy Spirit, be my helper. Because God knows you can't do it yourself. We need the Holy Spirit. Why don't we pray? This morning, all of us that are here, you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the first experience, being born again. If you have not received Jesus, the first experience of being born again, this morning, you can put up your hand. And I want to pray with you. Jesus. The second blessing. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. There may be a lot of ideas and thoughts outside there. Even among Christians concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is in the Bible. It's the second blessing. For us who believe in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. We are safe. We are sealed by the Spirit. But the second blessing is what Jesus said, and you shall be clothed with power from on high. If you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit, when I finish preaching, you come forward. See me. I want to pray for you. Shall we stand up, church? God's Spirit given to us freely so that we will not be comfortless, so that we will not be an orphan. No child of God is an orphan. We have a Father above, and we have the Spirit in our hearts. As the witness that we are His child. Would you open your heart and say, Holy Spirit, make yourself more real, more evident in my life. When I pray, when I read the Bible, when I meditate, show me more and more and more of your work in my life. The Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit only glorified one person, and the Holy Spirit is given to glorify Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to you. Lord, we stand before you in need of your Spirit. For you say it is not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory, we give you praise. Oh God, we need your Spirit to prompt us, to lead us, to guide us, to reveal the Son to us. Help us to know you in a very personal way. Touch your people, I pray. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.